Well, praise God for everything He's doing everywhere. We just thank God for His faithfulness. We know that He's carrying out something that He had planned before the foundation of the world. And we just want to find our place in it. And I know the Lord is willing to lead us if we're willing to be led. This is one of those special times when I believe the Lord has asked me to actually walk in what I'm thinking about. So imagine that. But we're all basically on a journey, aren't we? And we're not there yet. If Paul wasn't, we certainly aren't. If Paul could say, we see, we know in part, we prophesy in part, and so forth, that's all we can do is be where we are and who we are and just trust God. But that's all He's looking for. Boy, do we complicate things. We just need to ask God to lead us and to help us. I've had these thoughts come to me, and then as soon as I try to sit there and think about it and organize it, it just kind of... But sometimes that's the Lord's plan, too. He doesn't want me organizing His stuff, because it's like Steve said, it's not a matter of correct theology, although we certainly need what the Bible teaches, need to be faithful to that. But you can indeed have all of that and really have nothing. And the scriptures that I had, or the thoughts that I had, were all connected to an extremely familiar passage. But as always, I'm trusting the Lord to lead and to give His thoughts. And I don't have no idea how long this will be. Like I say, every attempt I had to organize this in my mind just went sideways. So either this is the Lord and He's going to help me, or you'll have to tell me if it really goes sideways in the wrong way. But anyway, Hebrews chapter 12. A lot of things that have been sung and said this morning just harmonize with this scripture. And I'll read the basic thought in verses, I believe it's 1 and 2. Therefore, now I will pause and say this, the therefore is we always need to ask what it's there for. It refers back to chapter 11, where the writer is describing all of the, what we call the heroes of faith, who believed God in the face of all kinds of circumstances. God had a different plan and purpose for each one of them, but the center of it was, I'm trusting God no matter how it seems to work out here. Whether I can see it, feel it, whatever, I'm going to serve you and I'm going to trust you. That sounds like a pretty good idea, doesn't it? And so there they are. Do you suppose there's a single one of them, including Isaiah, who prophesied and then wound up getting cut in half with a saw? What a reward. Do you imagine there's a single one today who would shout down from heaven and say, it's not worth it? They would say everything in the exact opposite. Oh my God, you have no idea what He's planned for every one of us. So be encouraged today, because we all tend to experience discouragement in one way or another, don't we? Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, referring back to those people, let us do what? Throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. All right? Now, you take the thought as a whole, there's one center to all of this in this passage, in what I just read. Everything else kind of helps to understand and focus on that center. What's the center? The center is running, isn't it? Let us run. Let us, praise God, down here. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. That's the heart of what the writer is saying here. Okay? And one of the passing thoughts that I had was simply this. Serving Jesus is not a spectator sport. God has a plan for every single person. That was emphasized last week. When God told David, or when David came to the realization that all of the days marked out for me were written in your book before one of them came to be, it wasn't just David. God absolutely has a place in his kingdom that is absolutely unique, cannot be replicated by anybody else. You and I have a place in his kingdom right now, in this hour, that is unique. And so the exhortation here is to run. Now, running, you know, in a race, you typically have runners, then you have people in the audience watching. This is not a spectator sport. Every single believer is called to run a race, and it is a race that has already been marked out for us. Everything in your life and everything in mine, he's got it written down in his book. Because he knows the choices we'll make. He knows what his plan and his purpose is. And as has been emphasized, this is not a time to be sitting around in one sense. To be sitting around and be passive and just say, well, yay, God, I'm glad for all the good things that are happening. All right, what's for lunch? This is a time for every one of us to be focused on what is my place, what am I called to do, what am I called to be, and it's not, am I supposed to preach, am I supposed to be a missionary, necessarily, it's just, God, help me to be the person you want me to be. So it's about being, but it's also about doing. Help me to become, as I become more like you, help that to be translated into being as, these are things we've said many times, but I think there's a need here this morning in me. Help me to not ever lose sight, to get so bogged down in me and what's happening to me that I forget that God's purpose is to shed life, his life, through me. He doesn't want people learning theology and communicating that in a dead sense, person to person. He wants to speak and act and live through us. You could be a dad or a mom. I don't know there's anything more important than that. The home is the center. And God wants people who live out and put into practice what he says. Boy, anybody here able to do any of this? That's kind of why he says what he does about looking to Jesus, because he has started something, hasn't he? Why are you and I here? How did that happen that we even are interested in God and know anything about him? How did that come about? He intervened in our lives when we would have just gone about our way looking at the things of the world, trying to find our way, trying to please ourselves and see what makes sense to us. And God said, wait a minute. It's not about this world. It's not about the life that you have here. This is temporary. I've got something that's permanent. And not only, I mean, it's for you. It's for anybody who will humble themselves. You're not qualified to be part of that, but I have provided the means. And so the heart of the message is what God has done and are completely handing over our lives to him to live out his purpose instead of ours. Now, all of that sounds good, and we've talked about these things many times. But, of course, one of the thoughts that I had is that how often are we satisfied? Let's say it this way. How often are we satisfied to say, well, I know what's right. I know the truth. I know what the Bible says. And come Monday, it doesn't really make a great deal of difference in our lives. Oh, we don't rob banks and do all kinds of, you know, kill people. But yet, our focus, the focus of our life is not what this is about. And God wants every one of us to run a race, not sit on the sidelines and say, yay to those who are running. God has a place for you and for me. Now, I guess I've said this thing many times, but somehow that's just in my own heart. I feel the need. How easy is it for us to say, oh, yeah, praise God, and then we just sort of go back to sleep? We get aroused. When God wants us just to pick up our feet, we said this recently, I think, you know, just step forward. I can't remember the exact words I used, but God wants us to absolutely be gaining ground every single day. Now, obviously, if this process requires perseverance, then that alone lets us know that there's opposition. It's interesting to me that he's not so much focused on the opposition that comes from outside, but the opposition that comes from here, the hindrances that come here. We know, obviously, that we're living in a world and a world system dominated by spirits of darkness, and the Lord is allowing the devil to have his way in many ways in this hour. Right now, there's a you could sense something holding back a little bit. We have an opportunity to live for the Lord and to shine. It will not always be this way. And there is going to come a time when I believe in this country, before it's over, we're going to be standing in the face of outright persecution, and we're not going to be able to meet like this. I don't know when that's going to happen, and that isn't just to cause us to be afraid. Because God, the same Lord who is the author, the beginner of our faith, is also the finisher. He tends to finish what he starts, doesn't he? Pretty perfect at it. And I'll tell you, he has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Everything. I need everything. I can't bring anything to the table and say, okay, Lord, you've done most of it, but here's my part. My part is to let go and surrender and trust in what he has provided. Praise God. I'll tell you, anybody here need encouraging this morning? Yeah. Maybe that's one reason I've thought about this. And a lot of, you know, he begins to talk about setting aside some things. And what we need to set aside is everything that hinders. Now, the original there, the weight, throw off the weights, throw off the... It's like somebody is running a race, but they got a pack on their back full of stuff. That doesn't make much sense, does it? But I would guarantee, in one way or another, every person here has got something on your shoulders that's holding you back that makes it tough to run, makes it tough to gain ground spiritually. Now, the things we talked about many times in the past include, you know, a spirit of things that have happened in the past and you just can't let it go. Or forgiveness for somebody. I tell you, I guess this is as good a time as any to bring this in. Seemed like over the last period of time, we have watched every one of the Kendrick movies in the house. And yesterday afternoon, we watched The Forge, the most recent one, again. What an incredible movie. If you haven't seen it, you need to get a hold of it. It's easy to get. Buy it on Amazon or wherever. But don't miss it. Don't miss any of them, for that matter. But the idea was, one of the biggest things for the young man who was trying to overcome and trying to begin to come to the Lord and serve him and grow up and become a man was a relationship with a deadbeat father who had left them, taken the family's money, just everything that he could have done to alienate his family, alienate his son. And all of a sudden, he's serving the Lord and he's doing great, and all of a sudden, he comes face to face with his father. And you're saying, why would the Lord do that? Here he's trying to serve the Lord. Why would the Lord put that in his pathway? Well, why do you think? Because that turned into an opportunity to face whatever it was that was the weight in his life. He didn't realize it at the time, but there was something that was weighing on him, holding him back, that he wasn't even conscious of it until he faced his father. And then he had to go through and really look back at what happened, but also how did the Lord want him to deal with that? Oh my God, you mean I got to forgive him? But look what he did. How can I do such a thing? And in the story, the Lord enabled him to come to a place where I can't fix him. The Lord's forgiven me, and he's told me if I'm not willing to forgive, he's not going to forgive me. And finally, he was able to just surrender it, say, Lord, I just give him to you. He's in your hands. I pray for him. I want to, but I'm just not going to carry this burden anymore. Isn't that kind of what the Lord wants us to do with the burdens that we carry? Does he really mean it when he says, cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you? But do we do that, or do we just say, yeah, I know what it says? Every one of us here has a burden, has burdens like that, of things that have happened. Maybe there are things that we've done, our own failures. And we just go along and we just can't quite feel that God could possibly love me. My God, what is the gospel about? It's about loving sinners. The worst of the worst are able to come to him. Is there somebody who said, well, Jesus said, I'll die for most of them, but for that one, forget it. They're just too bad. I can't take that. Now, he took every sin that has ever been committed in this world on his shoulders. It was as though he stood before his Father and said, charge me. Charge me with everything that's wrong with this world. Pour out your judgment, your wrath upon me. I take it freely. My God, who are we to carry a burden that he has already carried? It's not to say, oh, it doesn't matter. Oh, it matters, but we can lay it down and not say, the Lord loves so-and-so and so-and-so, but me, I'm just kind of in a special bad guy or bad gal category. I don't really deserve any of this. So he couldn't mean me. You know, I've talked many times about the anybody but me version of the Bible. But when Jesus went to the cross, he went there for you and you and you and you and me. And he wants us to lay down the burdens of all that has happened, that may have happened in our lives. And some of us carry the burden of the future. And so, I've got to get a handle on, I've got to figure it out, I've got to know what I'm supposed to do, and oh God, Lord have mercy. The whole point is, I'm not running a race I got to figure out. I've got to run a race he laid out for me. Like Paul says, I can forget what's behind, I can reach for what's before, but I'm living in the moment. You know, even society recognizes the value of living in the moment. Somehow we don't get that a lot of times. Living right now, I'm okay. My life is actually in his hands. He actually loves me. He has a plan. Now maybe I'm not feeling it. I'm not seeing it, but that's the whole point of walking by faith and being able to see past all of this. In fact, the very word perseverance not only conveys the idea of just don't quit, it certainly involves that, but it's don't quit because I have a hope. I have a genuine hope. I'm not just doing this because I'm supposed to. I'm persevering because I see something. I know that there's something coming that's worth everything. All of that is baked into that word. It's a perseverance founded upon hope and expectation of what God has promised. Praise God. Wouldn't that be a good thing to look at instead of, oh, poor me? Well, we all go through that, don't we? And it's not to be condemning. It's just a reality that God knows where we're at. That's why I got a throne of grace. I'm sure glad for it. Anybody need it today? I need grace because I don't have the strength to do any of this, to even be up here to do any of it. But the sin that's, I mean, the weights, everything that hinders, There was another interesting point made in that movie. There was a man, a businessman, who was discipling this young man, for those who haven't seen it. And there came a point when he talked about a time in his life when the Lord had to shine a light upon something that had too big a place in his heart, in his priorities. And it happened to be golf. It wasn't anything that was wrong. See, it's the weights and the sins. So the weights are not necessarily sinful. It's not like you're running around and doing something terrible, but it's something else that has a place in a particular person's heart that gets in the way of what our life is meant to be about. There are people that God blesses to be rich in this world. Now, money's not evil. What is evil? The love of money. When people get so focused on that kind of stuff, and they're, you know, what can I do? How can I fix, you know, and that occupies so much of their heart's attention. That's kind of a weight, isn't it? That hinders us from living the life God wants us to be, because Jesus said you cannot serve two masters. And so part of this weight business has to do with what is my heart really focused on? What matters to me that I give it my attention and my focus? Now, obviously, we have to work. We have to do many things. This is not talking about throwing it all away and just going and becoming a monk or a nun or whatever. This is, where is my heart focused? I mean, Paul spent his days, what was it, making tents, thank you. I never can remember that. I keep wanting to say fishing nets. I know that's not right. Paul was a tent maker. And he didn't stop doing that, did he? But his heart was, he was a good one. I don't have any doubt. He made good ones. He was focused on his work in the right sense. But his heart was always listening for the Lord's voice, looking to him, saying, Lord, I need to live the life you have given me. My life isn't about being the best tent maker in the world and seeing how much money I can make. That was just part of his natural responsibilities. And God doesn't call us to give up those things and be foolish. But he wants us to absolutely say, get up every morning and say, Lord, help me this day to look to you, to let the past go, to stop worrying. And obviously, one of the devil's great plans to hinder every one of us is sin. Sin is just taking some gift that he has given us and using it in a way that is self-centered. Okay? Now, you could go into this, and I'm not going to dig real deep in it, but there are things that we know that are wrong in our lives, and God will shine a light on it. And then what do? You know, the picture here, the sin that so easily besets, it's almost like there's somebody running out on the track and getting in your way and grabbing you and trying to pull you, and here you're trying to run a race and they're getting in your way and knocking you around. That's what sin does in our lives. When there's anything where Satan has a hold because of the desires that are in our bodies a lot of the time, in our hearts, anything where we are attached to something that is wrong, then we know it is. And God set us free. May God help us. There isn't a person here who isn't affected by any of by these things. Is there? Anybody here says, I'm past all this. Let's get to something exciting. We need this, don't we? Isn't that what the devil did to Jesus? Yes, he had opposition from without. But the devil spent the whole time of Jesus' life trying to tempt him to give in and to begin to follow earthly desires, earthly nature. It's important that I begin to cater to my own natural needs and desires. That's what matters. It's okay. I can do this. And next thing you know, Satan's got kind of a hold. And I'm not free. Thank God for a Savior who stood up to all of that, who was able to testify the prince of this world is coming, but he has no hold on me. How did he do that? He had to trust in God's strength, the one who lived in him, to give him the power to do that, because that's what the scripture says. It was by the eternal spirit that he offered himself without spot. That's pretty plain language, isn't it? But you know, God wants us to learn how to take those things that tend to try to get a hold in our hearts and our lives. Every one of us has got them one way or another. If it's not one thing, it's another. So nobody here has the right to look at somebody and say, what's the matter with you? You shouldn't do that. You're doing the same thing in a different way. But rather to love one another, pray for one another, and lift up what is right, and lift up, but not just what's right, because that's legalism. The whole point of lifting up what the Lord wants us to do is not to say, what's the matter with you? To start, straighten up and fly right. You know, I remember the time when some of you remember this, we had kind of a Bible study type thing on a Wednesday night many, many years ago. And I posed the questions, let's just suppose there's a particular issue right now and I just really fell in the mud. I failed. How about sharing some scripture with me to help me out here? What should I do? And it was designed to elicit response from the congregation. And one brother immediately called out and said, straighten up and fly right. Well, somehow my immediate response was, thank you, Moses. The purpose of God telling us what's right and what's wrong is to show us, not to say, here's what you're supposed to do, now you straighten up and do it. It's, oh God, I recognize my need. You know I can't do it, but you promised to come and do it in me. Help me to reckon on what you have done for me and actually believe it's true in real life. Not just some theory anymore. It needs to happen in real life. And maybe it doesn't happen all at once. Don't get discouraged. Don't quit. Don't take a step forward and say, yes, I'm making real progress here. And then, there was one scene where, in that movie where a lady says, don't take one step forward and another step back. That's the cha-cha. We need to keep moving and keep looking to the Lord and believing every day that he's able to take us forward. I don't have to worry about, oh, I should be here and I'm just here. Just be where you are, be what you are, and look to God and know that he loves you beyond imagining. Praise God. Do we serve an awesome God? Thank God for his mercy to us. But this is a road that is marked out. These are the things that hold us back. These are the things that cause us to not move forward. But again, we have heard every one of these things a gazillion times, haven't we? Anybody here that's got this all solved and licked and you can just stand here and tell us all about it? Anybody here doesn't need this truth this morning? I know one thing that brought it to my mind, and it certainly was Wednesday night. Brother Joel shared, that he had gone through an experience of just being discouraged, being tired, being discouraged. I can relate. Anybody else here? Or are you just excited and encouraged all the time? Praise God, I'm in the mountain. It's victory time. No, we all go through those times. Every one of us gets weary. Isn't that kind of where he says, oh yeah, consider him, verse 3, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners. Why? Think about him. Meditate on that. So that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Well, we kind of all do that, don't we? Every one of us will go through times when we don't feel it, we don't see it. I said that earlier, but we need to learn how to thank God, how to see past that, how not to get so focused on that we just, poor me. That's the last one God wants us to be focused on is me and all that's lacking, all that's wrong. Where did he go? Why did this happen? Here I was trying to make progress, and he brought this, and it showed this terrible need in me. Why would he do such a thing? Guess what? Thank God. When God shows us a need, he doesn't do it to say, I'm mad at you. What's wrong with you? You should fix this. He says, let me show you what your need is so you can bring it to me. I knew about this when I saved you, and I loved you anyway. It's time to look at this need. It's time for you to trust me with it. It's time for you to lift your heart to me. You know, the scripture that came to Joel's heart is exactly right. It came from a time when Israel had been restored, was being restored to its land after the Babylonian captivity, and there was a public reading of Moses' law. Well, when they read it to everybody, everybody realized, oh my God, look where we've been, look what we did, look how terrible everything is, oh my God, and they were weeping and mourning and carrying on. And what was the Lord's word to them? This is not a time for moaning and crying. This is a time for joy. When God reveals a need, it's a time not to rejoice that I've messed up. It's the time to rejoice that God loves me enough to reach down and work in me and show me. And so the message was not, you people better weep and you better keep on weeping. No, it's a time for joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Everything the Lord does sets in our path and allows to happen in us that is hard, that requires strength to overcome, is meant to cause us to lift our eyes and lay hold of what he has given us. There's something about the Christian life. In one sense, God has given us everything. But giving us everything is not a matter of our sitting in an easy chair and saying, thank you, Lord, and then going back to sleep. He gives us the equipment to be able to absolutely take hold. See, he's given it to me, it's mine, but I've got to take hold of it. And of course, I can only do that with his strength, so it's him all the way, but he's looking for a response, he's looking for choices in every one of us. And of course, when we're going along and it's tough, do we choose to thank him? Choose to rejoice? Choose to believe him in the face of whatever? Or do we choose to stew in our own juices? Sit there and moan and groan and, oh, poor me, and I should be this, and what's wrong with me? And on and on and on, instead of saying, thank you, Lord. The thing is, this path is marked out. He knows everything, not only the reason he's called us, who we are, what our purpose is. He knows what's down the road. I wonder if we really understand to the degree that we ought the simple fact that God allows things to come against us, to have to overcome this hard thing or that hard thing, because he knows some things are coming down the road, and he's actually getting us ready. Oh, if we could only see his hand and sense his heart in everything, it would make all the difference in our lives. That's why we've got to constantly lift our eyes to him and remember what this is all about. Praise God. God help us to get rid of all the things that hold us back and be able to see past it. If you're discouraged this morning, there's a reason. Your eyes are on something. How you feel. Something that you don't want to deal with. You just rather, oh God, I believe in the right stuff. I'm not a bad person. Why is this happening to me? Because God is transforming you and he's transforming me and he's setting us free from things we don't even know about. Thank God. Thank God. How many of you want to be the person you are right now there? I I think if we're honest, we realize that God's got an incredible job on his hands, but he is up to the job. And he is faithful in all that he has promised, all that he has done. And no matter how deep the hole, no matter how dark the pit, no matter what is happening, he is able to cause our eyes to lift up if we will and say, Lord, right now, I need you. I need your strength. I'm going to keep on keeping on, and I'm trusting you right now for the grace to handle this. I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. You got that. I'm letting go of all the stuff that I've been dragging along. And if the problem is Satan trying to get a hold on me, Lord, I just give you that afresh. Give me the strength. And help me every time that I'm tempted to look to you and just learn how to overcome. Like I say, sometimes it's a process. Don't be discouraged by the process. Even in the process, God's at work. What does Romans 8:28 say? Again, we've said so many times, in how many things? All things God is at work. For those who are called according to his purpose. I missed some of it. Anyway, those who love him, those who are called according to his purpose. He knows what he's doing. So I don't know, if you're in a place, you know, like Joel was expressing the other night, if you're in a place where it's getting hard, I'm discouraged, I don't know where things are happening, I don't know why, you know, on and on and on. Thank God. Trust him. Know that he hasn't left you. You go on to the next chapter and you'll find out that he's never going to leave you or forsake you. He's there and he's promised to finish what he started. And oh boy, when we get to that other side, we're going to join those people that are already there shouting encouragement to us. Can you hear their voices? Can you hear them this morning? If you're in that place of discouragement, can you hear the voices of people who have already gotten there and said, it's worth everything to serve him. It's worth it. Don't be discouraged. Keep on trusting God. Keep on looking to him. Let him do whatever he needs to do in your heart and in your life. It's worth everything. Trust in him. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I don't know what I had different titles for this, if I even was going to get up this morning, but I'll think about it. Praise God. That's all right. Don't need to worry about that. But I'll tell you, the Lord is, there's so much truth baked into such a small scripture. You could go in a lot of other directions and you could dig a lot deeper in certain parts of it, but I think we've got the essence of it here. If you're going through a place that's hard, if you're discouraged about your own need, your own condition, don't you get excited and in your emotions say, oh, praise God, I'm going forward. And step back. Or get all excited on Sunday and Monday your heart is all entangled with everything else. You know, in that story, in that movie, the guy in particular who was talking about the golf being his God, as it were, he had to kind of set it aside. Now, it doesn't mean everybody else who plays golf needs to quit playing golf. But it was the place it had in his heart and his life. And the young man had to put away his video games. Well, it just had a central place in his heart. He just constantly went to that. It was that he was getting something out of it that had nothing to do with the kingdom of God, and it was just it had a hold on him. It's not that the thing was evil necessarily. May God give us the grace to just say, Lord, I know you have marked out my path. I am actively trusting you, not just on Sunday, but 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, I'm looking to you. Show me my path and help me, give me the strength to walk it with you and just to keep, give me a hearing ear and a willing heart. Help me to walk with you every single day and rest in that. It's not a life of anxiety and fear. It's not being afraid of what's coming. All those things are things the enemy would try to crowd into our minds and lay burdens on our backs. God has set us free to where we can simply take the next step and look to him and know that it's going to be okay. God is looking for a people who are in the place where he can use us in this hour. That's been a theme lately. I believe he's doing it. Anybody here experience the devil trying to kick up his heels and say, wait a minute, don't get excited now. You know what you are. You know who you are. It's not about you. There's no spectators in this. No spectators in the race. Maybe that's a good title for it. No spectators in the race. God wants every one of us to run by faith all that he's given. And you know there's going to come a day when we'll be able to say like Paul, I have fought the good fight. I have run the race, finished my race. Run the race. I forget the exact words. But all that's lying before is going to make every possible thing we could ever experience that's challenging worth everything. Is he not worthy of our trust? Is he not worthy of our praise? And he's not just sitting there up in heaven saying, hey, what's the matter with you? Done that? He's been here, done that, got the t-shirt and more. And he is willing to walk it with us and bring us all the way home. I want to walk forward, don't you? I want to run free from a lot of the things that the enemy tries to work in my life and my heart. I'm very much a part of the need here. Anybody else? Yeah. We have a faithful Lord. To him be all of the glory. Praise God.